When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. I think all of us would be willing to pray that prayer. Amen?
Amen?
And it's not that we don't know anything about prayer or don't know how to pray, but I'm afraid, and that's a pastor's way of saying, I think I've seen it. I'm sure that there are people that don't understand the Bible teaching on prayer well enough that they can count on God answering their prayer. The Lord never tells us to pray and wonder. You know, you used to be in the old days, I had a missionary friend in Africa, and I would write a letter to him, and I would stick it in the mailbox, and I had no idea if he was ever going to get it, and half the time he didn't. Had missionaries in Thailand in the late 1990s, and we would send them stuff in the mail, and they never would get it. Missionaries in Mexico that tell us plainly, don't mail stuff to us, we won't get it. And sometimes I know we pray, and it's not that God never gets it, so to speak, but we pray wondering what will happen. That's a shame. That's a shame. I got to make myself be disciplined tonight and go through this in steps. And so the first thing I want to do is just introduce this a little bit to you. And there's always a couple of ways to look at things. If I was to tell you that I was able, that I had so much money in the bank, that if you had a financial need, that you could come to me and I would meet that financial need. You say, Pastor, I can't afford to fix my car, or Pastor, I can't afford to pay the doctor. And if I was to say, don't worry, I've got millions of dollars in the bank, and I'd be willing to pay your bills if you can't pay them yourself. Your first thought would be, that's going to be good for me. If, as an individual, we would think that. We really ought to look at things like this. What's the benefit to God? For example, how many people would have said, well, Pastor, I made a faith promise to give the missionaries, $2,400 this year, and I need money to do that. Folks, do you agree with me? God has everything we need. But quite often, we get our priorities wrong, and we think about it, what do I get? If you will take care of God's business, if you'll put God first, he'll take care of your business.
Amen.
God wants us to learn that we can trust him, that he is, the picture is a father in heaven, like a father. We can depend upon him to protect and to provide. And so in Luke chapter 11, when these fellows are asking the Lord to teach them to pray, that's a wise question. That's a good question. And I'm not going to be brutal about this, but I would just ask you, think to yourself, is God answering your prayers? Now, I've got another message that goes along with this one that we'll look at later on that has to do with the responsibility of prayer. You understand that when you pray, there's two or three things that you have to do. Number one, you need to understand God's will. Are you willing to find God's will so that when you pray, you can pray in agreement with God's will? Won't go into that right now. That's kind of complicated. There's another one. Are you willing to pray believing? Amen. Are you willing to make plans based on your prayer, even though you haven't seen the outcome yet? Are you willing to commit yourself? I'm going to commit myself, and I'm basing this commitment on God answering that prayer. If God doesn't answer my prayer, which honestly, I hate to even say those words, but if my prayer isn't answered, then I'm in a situation that's hopeless. If you understand what I mean, when you pray, you should plan as if that prayer has been answered already. And then there's another one. Are you willing to live the kind of life that God can bless? That God can answer your prayer. We talked about that last week. We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And so if I'm going to go to the Lord, and it's sort of like a parent, a child comes to a parent and says, hey, you know what? I really would like to have thus and so. And the parent says, well, you know, for the last month, I've been asking you to clean your room and do your homework, and you've refused to do either one. And you just flat out won't do it. And now you're coming to me asking me for something. Shouldn't we get this taken care of before we talk about what you get? Amen?
Amen.
It's not quite that simple, but it's close. If you're going to go off and live in sin and be wicked and then turn around and expect God to answer your prayer, there may be some problems there. I'm speaking very passively. I should be more direct, but I'll leave it at that. So they either heard the Lord praying or they saw him praying. And you remember Jesus sometimes would pray all night. And you remember that Jesus would pray often. And you see in his ministry, we had a fellow in our church in Maryland that taught a good series of Sunday school lessons on the prayers of Jesus. Jesus prayed often, and he prayed effectively. And by the way, his prayers were answered. So these fellows say, Lord, teach us to pray. And then they point something out. They said, John also taught his disciples. So they knew. Folks, we need to learn how to pray. If you just got saved, good time to learn how to pray. If you've been saved for 20 years and you never have understood it well, good time to learn how to pray. If you've been saved for 40 years, I'm just picking numbers out of the air, and you know how to pray, still good to hear it again.
Amen.
And I still enjoy, I can go to some kind of a seminar or something on something that I've known well, but I still enjoy seeing it one more time and catching those things I might have missed and picking those up. So he says in verse 2, he said unto them, when ye pray... Now, this next word is interesting. He says, say. Sometimes we think of the Lord's Prayer. In fact, you've heard it called this, the model prayer. Now, I'll answer the question after I ask it, so don't panic. But is that all anybody's ever supposed to do, is just say these words? We know that from the Bible. How do we know that? Because if you read about Paul and how he prayed, he says to the Corinthians, I always mention you in my prayers. And I've looked at this prayer a couple of times. I don't see Corinth mentioned in here anywhere, do you? No. So there is a concept here, but this is a very literal thing, and I'll read it to you, and then we're going to kind of go off in another direction and talk about this for the next couple of weeks. But he says, say, our Father which art in heaven, and I've intentionally, by the way, picked Luke instead of Matthew. We'll talk about that some of the time as well, but there's a little bit different in the version there. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, you know, in Matthew, he talks about, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Not listed here in Luke, and we'll just leave that subject alone as to why they're different for now. But I want you to understand a couple of things about prayer. First of all, again, prayer is service to God. We got a leak again, Eva? Oh, okay. I have to tell Rick about that. He was going to come fix that. Prayer is service to God. Let me show you that. We're going to be bouncing around here. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, towards the end of the chapter. I'll begin reading in verse 36. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. She's 84 years old, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. 84 years old. We've known some people that made it that far, and they're not as strong as they used to be, and they can't walk as far as they could, and this and that and the other. But they can pray.
Amen?
Amen? You say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Pray. Pray. Amen? You're serving God when you pray. Now, I'm going to have to keep myself from departing from my topic. Just stay with me here. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. These are some reasons prayer is important. One of them is it's a service to God. I'm going to move through these kind of quickly so we can get to the meat of the matter tonight. Philippians chapter 4. This is really a message unto itself right here. Philippians chapter 4. What a great verse. Verse 6. You hear me quote this all the time. Be careful. That word means to be full of care or to be worried. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I understand that verse, and I'll explain it to you briefly. It's not complicated. I can explain it to you in a simple concept. Probably right now there's something that worries you. A need that hasn't been met yet. An obstacle that stands in your way. Something that is threatening you that could cause great physical or financial or whatever harm to you. Maybe a relationship issue. You don't get along with some family member or something. And I can't second guess all the possibilities, but each of us, if I was to say to you, what are you most worried about right now? You'd have something you could list. Now, that's being full of care. When you are full of care about something, that means that you're thinking about it a lot. And that word careful, you care about it. It worries you. It bothers you. You're not sure what's going to happen. You know what I'm talking about. And so you're careful. He says, be careful for nothing. In other words, whatever, and as you say, well, that's easy for you to say. I didn't say it. The Bible said it, all right? Be careful for nothing. And by the way, I endure these kind of things too. But in everything, that's just the contrast there, nothing, everything. This is very comprehensive. It's whatever you got. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. What does that all mean? You know, prayer is talking to God, supplication is asking God for things. We do so with thanksgiving. What do you mean by with thanksgiving? That's a message in itself, but there's some things there. Number one, thanksgiving for what God's already done. Yeah, I had an automobile wreck two or three months ago, and it was my fault. It was just an honest mistake. I did not see something, and it resulted in a minor fender bender. And as a result of that, the person that I hit and the damage to their vehicle was $150, $175, I think, has decided that they want to get an accident attorney and see what they can get out of my insurance company. I think it's wrong, but that's my opinion, and I could sit and fret about that. I just pretty much decided I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to trust the Lord. Well, Pastor, what if the Lord lets something happen? Then that's what should happen, amen? And so we worry about things. He says, don't do that. He says, thanksgiving means I'm thanking God for what he's done. I would have chosen not to have that wreck, but God let it happen, so that must be okay. And I can also thank God for what he's going to do. Amen? Lord, thank you that you answer prayer. Thank you that I know you're going to answer my prayer because you said you would. How can you say that? Again, it's just Bible. He says, you pray without doubt, you move mountains. We've talked about that already. So he says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, here's how, this is a test. Here's how you can know that your prayers are going to be answered. This is how you can know one way, part of the way, that you can know you're praying the right way. He says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. In other words, it doesn't make sense. I don't know why this would be, but shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Do you remember the last time you had a big problem? And you prayed and you prayed and God answered. And when he answered, remember how good it felt? Oh, God took care of that. And you felt pretty peaceful then, didn't you? You had a need or you had, an injury, a danger, some kind of a thing that was weighing on you. And then God met that need. It is sort of like the people that were trying to cross the Red Sea, the nation of Israel. And once they saw the waters part, can you imagine how good they felt when they got to the other side? And especially when they saw the water close in on the Egyptians. And, oh, Pastor, that's just a Bible story. No, that's the truth. That's what happened. How good would you feel looking out and seeing your enemies defeated by God? Well, when you pray the right way, you don't have to wait for the result. You immediately have peace about it. Amen? You ought to be. If you have faith, you will. So what can prayer do? Prayer, service to God. Prayer can take away the worry. I've told you before. In fact, there's a little song. That little song, why worry when you can pray? There's a thought there, and that is if you're worried about something, you ought to be praying about it. And then when you've prayed about it, you ought to trust God about it. And then you ought to set it aside and go on about your life. Say, but God hasn't answered yet, Pastor. Well, what you're saying to me is, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. You're just like Thomas. Yeah, I won't believe it until I can put my finger in the wounds. And then I'll believe he rose from the dead. And he had to eat those words, didn't he? Because he got to see the Lord face to face and he got to put his finger. Jesus said, put your finger in my side. Look at these wounds. It's me. I'm risen from the dead. Let's not be like Thomas. Oh, what do we call him?
Doubting
Thomas. And you know what's interesting? You never read anything else about him in the Bible. There's no story of him going on a missions trip or being the pastor of a church. We hear nothing about him. He was one of the disciples. Most of the other disciples, we hear at least something about them. Not Thomas. I think there's a reason for that. Prayer takes away worry. Prayer is service to God. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Just keep going a little bit here. We're kind of going in sequence. So Philippians, and you'll get to 1 Timothy chapter 2. After Thessalonians, of course. Without trying to explain the book in great detail, Paul is writing to Timothy to teach him how to conduct his ministry. What should you do? Timothy asks, and Paul's answer is in 1 and 2 Timothy. And he says in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, that's when you pray for God to forgive or to deliver somebody else, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And he goes on, for kings, for all that are in authority. So we should be praying for our leaders in our nation. And then he says in verse 4 that God will have all men to be saved. If you believe God only chose to save some people, you need to read 1 Timothy 2:4 a couple of times. Amen?
Amen?
God wants all men to be saved. So anyway, that's not why I'm here tonight, but I am here to teach you that the first thing he says to do is to pray. Now go to, I got to turn the page here, James chapter 5. Just one more of these, and then we'll take one point, and we'll be done here in about 15 minutes. James chapter 5. Just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks recently after Hebrews. James is sort of a treatise on prayer. It's got a lot to say about prayer. Chapter 1 talks about nothing wavering, and if you waver, you're not going to get your prayer answered. And we talked about that meaning doubt. Chapter 5 and verse 13. He says in James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Prayer is our response to affliction. What is affliction? Oh, wow, that's tough. Persecution is the first word that comes to your mind, but it doesn't have to be persecution. You can be afflicted with a malady, like a disease. For example, Brother Gonzalez was afflicted with COVID. And he prayed, and God healed you, amen? And that's interesting. You're in the hospital, and you have nobody to talk to, and you can't have visitors. And so what can you do? Well, you can talk to God. I did. I laid in bed for about a week and a half and then talked to God, and God answered my prayer. And in the process, renewed my hope in Psalm 23 in a great way. So it's an answer to affliction. Maybe God would let a wayward child that's not right with him. Maybe he would let us get into some trouble or some affliction, so he would bring us to the point where we need to turn to him and say, God, help. So don't be that way. Be praying to God before then. Amen? All right. So I'm going to be able to do maybe one or two of these tonight. I want to talk to you about Seven things that can kill the answer to your prayers. And each of these is something that can stop the prayer from being answered. And I will not do them all seven tonight. I might not get past the first one, probably. And we'll look at these for the next couple of weeks. Say, Pastor, why should we do this? Someone says, well, you know, if I could get God to answer my prayers, I wouldn't have any problems in life. No, that's not true. But it is true that God would get you through those problems. Someone else says, well, if I had God answered my prayers, then I'd have a lot of money. Not necessarily. Was it Peter and John that were at the temple, and the crippled fellow was there, and they came up to him, and he was waiting for folks to give him money. And they walked up to him, and they said, silver and gold have I none. They didn't have any money at all. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. They had something better than money. They had the power of God.
Amen.
I'd like for our church to have the power of God.
Praise
I'd like for our church, when we preach the gospel in our church, for the Holy Spirit to be able to work in our church and to see souls saved every Sunday.
Amen.
I'd like to, and by the way, it's going to take all of us to do that. Amen? Say, I just think I want to sit back and watch, Pastor, and be who I am already. Yeah, you're going to hold things back. That's what Achan did when they went and fought Jericho. He disobeyed God, and they lost their next battle because of him. So, why should we want God to answer our prayers? So that he can do as much as he can through us to reach the world with the gospel. Little old Vision Baptist Church. You say, Pastor, let's reach the neighborhood. I'm on board. Let's do it. Pastor, let's reach this part of Glendale. I'm on board. Let's do it. Pastor, let's send missionaries around the world. I'm on board. Let's do it. Let's serve God as well as we can. And folks, if we would pray and believe what we're going to see here in the Bible, God would answer.
Amen?
Amen? I don't have any doubt about that. I don't know why God would have said it if he didn't mean it. And the Bible's not a book full of tricks that, oh, I didn't really mean that. It was just tricking you. No, it means what it says, and it says what it means. So let's look at the first one of these things that will kill prayer. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we got one more verse after this, and then we're going to, two more, and then we're going to finish for the night. 1 John chapter 5. This is the confidence, he says in verse 14, that we have in him. 1 John 5:14. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Somebody says, you know, I'm about to do something and I want God to bless it. Well, if it's in his will, he could. You know, you use a silly illustration. You know, you don't pray for God to bless you while you rob the bank. Amen? The blessing, if you rob the bank, would be that God lets you get caught and fixed and straightens you out. Mormons used to come to our door in Salt Lake City and say, here's a book. We want you to read this book and ask God if it's his word. Nope, can't do it. In the first place, I already know what it says, and it disagrees with the Bible, and I can tell you exactly where if you've got time to look. And secondly, I'm not going to tempt God. I'm not going to test God to see if he is with me or not, to ask him, is the Bible the truth or not? Because in order for that book to be true, the Bible's got to be wrong. And those people say that. And folks, the Bible's not wrong. So I'm not going to pray, hey, God, is the Bible wrong? I'm not going to do it. And somebody that does that is either very confused or just flat out disobedient. And if you know who I'm talking about, the Mormons will tell you they're... They call it bearing their testimony. It sounds awfully practiced to me. You ever heard one do that, Jake?
Probably.
Yeah, me too. They'll say to you that, and they got a, it's a quote, it's a thing they've memorized, it's a phrase they memorized, but what they'll tell you in a short few words is that they prayed about the Book of Mormon and they had a burning in the bosom, right? And they've actually got some words they say specifically. I know that the Mormon church is a true church, and they'll give you this whole spiel, but they call this the burning in the bosom, okay? So here's what they did. They read the Book of Mormon, and they say they prayed about it, and they got a burning in the bosom. And I'm trying to be humorous with it, and I'm saying, you know, I had pizza last night, and I got a really bad case of heartburn, so whatever I read must have been the truth. Folks, do we believe the Bible because of physical proof or because of faith? What they're telling you is that they don't have faith. They have a sign. Be very careful about signs, because the devil can do signs. I don't have to question the Word of God. I believe it from beginning to end. And anything that does not agree with it, or anything that adds to it or takes away from it, I'm not going to ask if that's God's Word or not. It's not God's will for me to do so. We're not supposed to tempt God. Amen. So he says in 1 John 5:14, he says, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And that's as much as we need to see right here. But verse 15 says God's going to do what he said he would do. We have the petitions. I was talking to one of our members this morning, and I'll just tell you, she wouldn't mind. Mrs. Perry, you need to be praying for Matt, by the way, because Matt has really bad neck pain, really bad back pain. And they have put a thing inside of him, and he's literally got a knob he can turn up and down. And this thing, and Brian could tell you all about it. I don't know much about it, but it apparently relieves his pain. And the batteries are going dead, and he's going to have surgery to replace the batteries. And so right now he's in a lot of pain because the batteries are gone. But she said when he turns it up full blast, he can't hear her because he has this real loud ringing in his ears. She said, I thought he was just pretending that he couldn't hear me. But turns out he can't hear me. Well, folks, you know, if you ever had somebody talking to you and you'd say to them, I don't hear you. I can't hear that. I don't want to hear that. I'm not going to hear that. And they don't pay attention. When you're right with God and you pray, he hears you.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we would not ask God to do something contrary to his will. We wouldn't ask God to do something that goes against the Bible. We must pray according to God's will. Colossians 1. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. We're getting there. Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1. Verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul says, for this cause, and he just talked about the Spirit and some things, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That drip's really getting after it, isn't it? The fact of the matter is God wants us to know his will. And don't let that keep you from hearing the next 10 minutes of what I got to say. That's just the devil working. Amen. God wants us to know his will. And if you want to know God's will, he'll show you his will. Now, that's a complicated statement because, for example, when you read the Bible and it tells you what to do, that's God's will. Amen. Amen. But there are some things, specific things that God, for example, I was talking to Mr. Martin before the service tonight, and their church is about to call a pastor. They want to call the pastor that God wants to have for them. And so they pray. And now tonight they're going to come together and they're voting. And what they're saying is, as we vote, we believe to the best of our ability, this is God's will that we call this man to be our pastor. And he's out of the same church where I got my master's degree. It's a doctrinally very sound church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And so they're trusting that that's God's will, and I haven't got time to explain it, but the Bible teaches us that when we vote as a church, it's one of the ways God reveals his will. So we can know God's will. Some things are simple. Some things aren't so simple. I could talk the rest of my time. I won't do that. Let's keep going. It's Romans chapter 8. If you couldn't know God's will, it would not be possible to pray accurately, because we need to know God's will when we pray. So the first thing that's going to keep you from seeing your prayers answered is if you pray in opposition to God's will. And so you can see there is a burden that we have to know God's will. Now, I could almost ask for you to answer, but I don't have time to do that. If I was to ask you, what are some things that you know are God's will? One thing I know is God's will is that people get saved.
Amen.
We saw it already. That he would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So when you pray for somebody to get saved, and when you pray, for example, for somebody to be saved during a church service, that's God's will.
Amen.
Not a problem with that. I'm not going to be able to list you right now, but I'm just telling you, there's some things we know are God's will, but sometimes we don't. God's got a fix for that as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, and once again, I'm sorry, but there's things before this that add to the statement. It's in a context here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Amen? Maybe you don't like to admit that. Somebody says, oh, I know, Pastor. Come on. This is Paul talking, and he didn't know, so you don't either. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And we'll just stop right there. The Holy Spirit knows what we need even when we don't.
Amen.
And when you pray in contrast or of your opposition in some way to God's will, God has a way of fixing that. And sometimes if we don't know God's will, I could pray, for example, I could say, Lord, I would pray that the Trail family, the missionaries we heard about tonight, would get back to Iraq by September the 30th. 30 days past September, yeah, September the 30th, which is a little over a month from now. Can God get them there by then?
Amen.
Is that his will?
Yes.
I don't know. September 30th might not be his will. He might want them there later, amen? He might want them there sooner. And it may be presumptuous of me to say, Lord, get them there by September 30th. Might be better for me to pray, Lord, get him back there quickly. Pray for his will. You with me? So we have an obligation to pray according to God's will. Sometimes we pray so flippantly, we don't even think about those kind of things. I think about it sometimes like when I was a child, I'd be out in the backyard, I'd be playing with my friends, and we would want something, and I'd just stick my head in the back door. I wasn't even really sure where my stepmother was, and I would say, can we have some water? And I'd go back and play again. And if we didn't get any water, it wasn't that big of a deal. And if she brought water to us, that was a wonderful thing. But it really was not a commitment. And it wasn't taken, I didn't take time and treat her the way she should have been treated maybe. And we do that to God sometimes. Just kind of stick our head in the back door and yell, hey, Lord, I need this or I need that. And that's really not a good way to pray. And so the point there is when you pray and you're praying according to God's will, he hears us. The Bible says so. Amen. All right, let's just kind of wrap things up if we could. And I'm going to just kind of read some of this list to you and give you some thoughts, and then we'll come and look at some of these in the next messages. Things that are going to kill your prayers. Asking against God's will. Asking against God's will. Asking for something that God does not approve of in the Bible, or that God will not bless, or that is something that is against God's will. I'll read you the rest of these, and we'll talk about these at a later time. Living a disobedient life is going to kill your prayers. Praying with doubt. We've talked about that a lot lately, right? Praying with doubt. That's going to kill your prayers. Praying with wrong motives. That's from James chapter 4. That's going to kill your prayers. Not praying in secret. That's from Matthew chapter 6. And what I mean by that is, when I pray, I'm not... There it goes again. Maybe we will get a storm tonight. When I pray, I'm not challenging God to answer. And so I might not, probably should not. In fact, I will just say I should not share that with other people. It's between me and God. If you're praying for something and you want somebody to pray with you, that's one thing. But if I've asked God for something specific to my life, I don't have to tell everybody so that they can see if God answered or not. I just trust God for the answer and I wait. I pray in secret. He answers openly. Amen? So not praying in secret can kill your prayers. We'll look at that. Not forgiving others when you pray. Folks, we got to forgive people. You say, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. I know what you did to Christ, and he forgave you. Amen? You never did anything They never did anything to you worse than what you and I did to Christ, because our sins nailed him to the cross.
Right.
If he can forgive us, then at least we know it's right that we could forgive others. Say, I will not forgive. It's your choice. If you want your prayer answered, then, you know, you make the choice. If you don't want them answered, then don't forgive people. And then the last one is not praying with importunity. That's from Luke chapter 11. And I love that word, importunity. We'll talk about that a little bit. I spent a lot of time studying that word. I'll give you a little definition. It comes from a Latin word, importunitas, which means, it's funny, the primary definition of importunitas in Latin, which is where importunity comes from, I'll read it to you, it's funny, a persistent lack of consideration for others. So how does that work? It's like you keep asking even though it bothers them, but you still don't stop. In other words, you want it so bad. Children are good at this, right? Mom, I want this. What would you say to Tay Jake? 5 times they ask you for something already? And don't ask me again. That kind of thing. She has importunity. As a father, this is an experiment here. Does that have an effect on you besides aggravating you? If it was something... Like, for example, if it was Christmas time and she said, I'd like a doll, and it's not an expensive doll, it's just a neat little doll that she wanted, and she asked you for it and 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 asked you for it, that tells me something. If my children said, hey, Dad, I'd like to have thus and so for Christmas, you know what I would do? I'd keep listening days after that to see if they said it again. If they get all distracted and now they want something else, they didn't really want that. But if they ask and ask and ask and ask and ask, now I know what they want. Now, that's not the exact application of that passage, but how many times do we ask God for something one time? We forget we even ask him. We never even bother to see if he answered or not. That's not a very important prayer, is it? Amen?
Amen.
If you really want something, if you really need something is the right word to use, could mix them together a little bit, you're going to ask more than once. What are the things, I'll just finish with this. What are the things that you and I have you been praying, don't tell me out loud, have you been praying for anything for weeks and weeks and weeks? I know some of you have. That's importunity. We had a fellow that used to visit here, he moved away, and he had all these little acronyms, and one of them was PUSH, pray until something happens. And I thought that was kind of a neat way to remember that. So those are things that can kill your prayer. I would like, that's an understatement, I desperately desire to see our church pray in the right way and then see God answer.
Amen.
In a way that you and I can look and say, there is no other explanation than God. We couldn't have done that. The situation I was in Maryland from 2002 until spring of 2016. When we got there, the church had, what do you figure, Deborah, 45 or 50 members? Maybe 40. I remember that about that many people voted when they called me. And the buildings were a disaster. They had no money in the bank. They had, in fact, the administrator had hidden $50,000 in a bank account so that the former pastor wouldn't find it and spend it because he needed money to buy books for the school. That's how tight the money was. I had to pay my own moving expenses when I moved out there because the church didn't have enough money to pay for my move. And that's fine. And so we had been there. That was in 2002. In 2009, I believe it was. Or was it 2008, I think? We broke ground on a $6 million building project. It's pretty good. See, 7 years, $6 million. We borrowed some of that money, of course. We paid a lot of it in cash. We borrowed some of that money. Still paying a little bit of it at an interest rate of less than 0.25%. That's God. But God did that. Amen? During the time that we were there, that church gave $1.5 million to missions. God did that. I couldn't do that. You can see, obviously, in the last 4 years, if I was able to do that, it would have already happened here. Amen?
Amen.
No, God's got to do it. It's okay to start from zero. God could care less where you start. He can determine where you finish.
That's right.
Amen? You say, Pastor, I don't have any money in the bank. God's got a lot of money in the bank. Don't worry about it. You say, Pastor, my health is not that great. God can take care of you. Don't worry about it. He's got you where you are for a reason. I don't have to list all of our problems here. What I'm telling you is this. Trust God. And pray. And if you pray right, I do not doubt that God will answer. I'm not planning in case God doesn't answer. I'm planning, and our church should be planning, for when God answers. Amen?